Excellent, excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. For those of you who I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are coming out of just an amazing, amazing weekend. Would you guys just celebrate everything that we saw happen this past week? It was phenomenal. Over 1,800 people in our Easter services, over 2,300 people were with us last weekend, that we were able to communicate the truth of what Jesus has made possible too. I mean, it's just amazing. And I say it over and over again, but I want to make sure that we don't forget. I want to make sure we never take for granted the fact that God is giving us that opportunity, that we're always just incredibly grateful that He continues to give us the opportunity to share the message of Jesus with more and more people. I also want to take the second to just celebrate those of you who invited someone to be a part of those conversations with you. And I hope that you've been celebrating all week how God is using that, and that God used you to be a part of that. I also want to celebrate all of those who served last week. Would you guys just celebrate all those who served and just did an amazing job of loving people. I had some time this week to be able to get away with my family, and I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by how so many of you continue to leverage your time, talents, and treasures for the message and the mission of Jesus. And to see how He's using that is just, it's amazing. As we come together today, we have so much to celebrate from last week, but we're also celebrating the fact that we're walking into this brand new conversation called Waitlist. And I want to clear something out because some of you may have been a little bit confused. And so some of you may have come in today thinking that this conversation is about weight loss. That's not what this is about. I know the swimming and the exercising, all that is a little bit confusing. That's not actually what this is about. Now, I do have some friends who own gyms here in town, so if you want to talk to me afterwards about that, we can do that. But that's not what this conversation is about. It's a different kind of weight. At the beginning of the year, my friend and I, we decided that we were going to do something a little bit crazy, and we decided that we were going to begin to train to run what will be my first triathlon. It'll be his second, and we're planning to run the New York City Triathlon this summer, which we're really excited about, I think. We'll see. But we decided, in order to prepare for that, we were going to start swimming. So I showed up the first day at the gym, and I put on my board shorts, and he looked at me, and he said, "What are you wearing?" And I looked at him in his Speedo shorts, and I said, no, wrong question. What are you wearing? I don't know if we can be friends moving forward. My opinion on that changed drastically over the course of the next 2 weeks. Changed drastically. It's amazing the difference that those shorts make. And I think, I brought a picture actually. No, I'm kidding. That would be awful. But I think a lot of us, we understand this when it comes to exercise. None of you get dressed for hiking to go running. None of us put on our ski gear to go swimming. We understand. No. If you want to race well, if you want to succeed, then you have to shed the layers. You need to be lean. You need to lose the weight. And yet, while we may understand it when it comes to exercise, many of us live our lives carrying a ton of excess weight. Live our lives carrying all of this weight from our past. And as we come together this morning, and as you walk in here this morning, for many of us, we walk in and we're experiencing this journey of life and we're engaging life and we can't figure out, man, why can't I grow? Why can't I move forward? Why can't I gain traction? When in reality, we are carrying a tremendous amount of weight, and you walked in here this morning and you're furious with your parents. As you walked in here this morning, You can't even You can't even think about your ex without excruciating pain and anger. For many of us, we struggle in our relationships, not because of the relationship that we're in, but because of a relationship in our past. And it's been decades since middle school, but we still carry the weight of what those kids said. We understand the principle in certain areas of life, but it's amazing how many of us, we live our lives and we're trying to engage this journey well, and we're trying to love well and to live well, but we're carrying all this weight. And it's killing us. And God has stepped into our lives, and he said something remarkable. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in the letter that we call Hebrews. We don't actually know who the author was, but as God speaks to this author, there's some amazing and profound things that were taught inside of this letter. And in chapter 12, God uses this author to share something with us that it really is. It's truly remarkable. I want to take you to this passage. It says this. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses," and in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, he's been walking through all of these people who live life well when it came to faith, who engage faith in such a way that they were able to experience what it is that God had created them for, and to lean into that. And he says, since we're surrounded by people where we've seen this, he says, let us strip off every weight. And he's talking about these things that hold us back. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. God steps into our lives and says, listen, I want for you to be able to run this race well. I want for you to be able to live this journey well. I want for you to be able to live it the way that you were created to live it. And as we talk through this, I want to make something really clear. I want, for those of you, especially if you're new with us here at Hope, Hope, and Grace, you need to understand something. We believe that when you look at God's word and what God has taught us, we believe that you are created to be a part of something incredible, that you are created for something incredible, that you are created in the image of God, that you are created for something incredible, that you are created to be a force of love and joy and peace in the world around you. And God steps in and he says, I want for you to run the race that way. I want for you to live that. I want for you to know what those who've come before you have known. I want for you to be able to live the way that they've lived. I want for you to run the race that way. I want for you to experience the incredible that you were created for. He says, but if you're going to do that, you're going to have to take off the weight that's holding you back. This is so powerful, what God's saying to us, what he's speaking into our lives here. Because the reality is some of you have given up on the idea that you could actually run the race well. You've given up on the idea that you were created to be a part of anything significant at all. But God steps into our life and he says, no, I want for you to run the race well. I want for I want for you to run the race in such a way that you're able to win. I want for you to know that. I want for you to know what those who've come before you have known. I want for you to experience that kind of life. I want you to experience that in faith. I want you to experience that with me. Don't just settle for what it is that you have. And I think for so many of us, that's what we've come to the point in life where we've just decided to settle because we've lived with that weight and we've felt like we're just stuck and we're... And every time we try to move forward, it just seems like we're slipping backwards. And so we've just come to the point where we say, you know what? It is what it is. But God steps into our life and says, no. I want to teach you how to live, how to run the race in such a way that you succeed in order for you to experience what those who've come before you have experienced, for you to experience the incredible that you were created for. You were created. You were created for something incredible, to be a force of love and joy and peace in the world around you, created in the image of God. And God says, I want for you to know that and experience it. I want you to run the race that way. But unfortunately, rather than being that force of love and joy, and peace, we live our lives in turmoil. Paul, as he's writing to the church at Rome, he says, we were created for one thing, but we've fallen far short of that. And rather than being a force of love, joy, peace, we live our lives at war. Let me ask you something really quickly. When was the last time that you knew peace? Not peace that was the result of a pill. Not peace that you find at the bottom of a bottle. True peace. When was the last time that you experienced that? You were created for something incredible, but rather than us knowing that peace and love and joy, rather than us bringing that to the world around us, we live our lives in turmoil, and we carry around all this weight. All this weight from our past. And God has stepped in and said, I want for you to be able to run this race well. I want you to know what those before you have found. I want you to know the incredible that you were created for. But you got to get rid of the weight. You have to get rid of the weight. And in order for us to do that, we have to learn forgiveness. As he continues in that passage in Hebrews, he talks about one of those weights that can destroy us. And he talks about it as bitterness. He says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out so that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. He says, no, if you're going to take off that weight, you have to learn how to be able to forgive. You have to learn forgiveness. And let me be clear about this. I'm not talking about just learning to forgive. I think many of us want to forgive. The reality is I don't usually have conversations with people who say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with forgiveness. I want to hold on to this bitterness for the rest of my life. That's not usually the conversation. Now, sometimes we live that way and we do hold on to it because we've become so accustomed to it and it's become so much a part of who we are that we don't know what it would look like to live without it. But there aren't many of us that say, no, you know what? I want to carry this weight around. I want to live the rest of my life with this weight. I think for a lot of us, it's, I want to forgive, but I don't know how. And I'm not talking about just learning to forgive. I'm talking about we have to learn forgiveness. We have to learn what that looks like. And I think for a lot of us, we've come to places like this and we've heard, you need to forgive, you need to forgive, you need to forgive, you need to forgive. And we've sat here and we've heard that over and over again and all of us have thought the same thing. How in the world do I do that? How do I forgive? How do I forgive my dad for the fact that he was never there? How do I forgive? How do I forgive the fact that I loved her with everything I had? And then she cheated on me. How do I forgive that? We have to learn, not just to forgive, we have to learn forgiveness. If we're going to take off those weights, we have to change the whole way that we think about forgiveness. And for the next couple of weeks, what I want to do as we walk through this conversation is I want to do just that. I want to redefine for you what forgiveness looks like. Because as God steps into our lives and he calls us to forgive, there's more to it than just, well, you just forgive. There's a lot more to it. As a matter of fact, inside of the scriptures, there's multiple experiences of forgiveness. There's a forgiveness that we extend to everyone, and then there's a forgiveness that's extended to someone that leads to reconciliation. It's different. But for many of us, we've just been told, well, you need to forgive, and you need to forgive, and you need to forgive. And we've sat there, and we've said, but how? How? And even you may have had conversations with someone about this, and your friend says, you're sharing the story, and your friend says, well, you need to forgive. Well, how? And usually what we say to one another is something like this, well, you just move on. And you said, I've been trying to move on. For years, I've been trying to just move on. What do you mean, just move on? How do I move on? I think that I've moved on, and then this happens, and it brings it back. I think that I've moved on, but I can't. And listen to me. This is a big part of it, and this is where it begins. It begins with understanding forgiveness is not just moving on. If you've been told that, you have been lied to. Forgiveness is not that you just move on. Forgiveness is far greater than that. And let me make something very clear to you. That is not the way that God forgives you. God doesn't step into our lives and say, hey, listen, I'm just going to move on. It's cool. We're good. We're just going to move on. No. And if we're going to know forgiveness, if we're going to understand forgiveness, it begins not with what we extend to others, but what we experience with him. And you need to understand, God doesn't just move on. There's a process to the way that God forgives, and a process that God calls us into in experiencing his forgiveness. God doesn't just step into our lives and say, hey, listen, I love you. It's cool. We're good. That's not his forgiveness. And if you think it is, you're not going to experience the fullness of how God loves you and what God wants for you. You have to understand what it is that makes God's forgiveness possible. God's forgiveness doesn't begin with, hey, it's okay. God's forgiveness begins with, it's not okay. And that's important to understand. When we're understanding forgiveness, you have to understand that God's forgiveness in our life begins with confrontation. And God steps into our life and he says, no, listen, the way that you're living your life is leading to destruction and death. God's forgiveness in our life begins with, listen, I created you to be this, and you're this. I created you to bring this to the world, and this is what you're bringing. I created you to bring love, and you're bringing pain. I created you to love me, and you've run from me. God's forgiveness in our life begins with confrontation, and he steps in and he talks to us about this thing called sin, which is anything in our lives that's unloving towards those around us or towards him. And he steps in and he says, no, this is going to destroy you, and it's destroying the world around you, and it's not okay. And then he calls us. He calls us to something called confession. In 1 John, we read about this. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Not only does it begin with confrontation, but it continues with confession. He says, and confession is this. Confession is when I say to God, God, I see it the way you see it. Confession is when I acknowledge, no, listen, I realize I was created for this, and I am nothing like that. I realize, even when I try to love my wife well, I can't. Confession is the acknowledgement. It's the acknowledgement that I screwed it up. And I didn't love them well, and I didn't love you well. God's forgiveness is not, hey, let's just move on. No, he steps in and says, no, you need to acknowledge this. And he calls us to confession. He calls us to something called repentance. Peter talks to us about this in 2 Peter. And for those of you who don't know who Peter is one of the three who was closest to Jesus. It says this, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. And he's talking about God's justice here. He says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his justice, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Now, repentance isn't the same as confession. It's connected, but it's not exactly the same. Repentance literally means I was headed one direction, and I changed direction. And God steps into our lives, and he says, listen, you need to understand something. The way that you're moving, the way that you're headed, your direction is towards death. And he says, I want for you to know, and I want for you to experience my forgiveness, and I want for you to be reconciled to me, but you've got to change direction. And confession is when you say, I recognize that. Repentance is when you say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm done moving in that direction. I want to follow you. God's forgiveness is not, it's okay. No. God steps into our lives and he says, look, we need to have an honest conversation. And he calls us to confession and repentance. And then he calls us to accept restitution. What I mean by that is this. Restitution means what makes it right. Or what makes it just? Restitution is, I came to your house and my sons are with me, and so they broke something in your house because that's what my sons do. And then you come to me and I say, how much does it cost? And I pay you for whatever's broken. That's restitution. It's when you pay for what was broken. And as God steps into our life, he doesn't say, hey, listen, I just forgive you because I'm a nice guy. If that were true, he'd be unjust. If that's what God's forgiveness was based on, he'd be unjust. And if you remember back to that passage in 1 John that we just read a little bit ago, what does it say? It says that he is just to forgive us. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just. Why is he just? Because he doesn't just look past it. As he steps into our lives, he says, no, I'm not going to just move past this. I'm not just going to say it's okay. No, I'm going to send my son, and Jesus is going to go to that cross, and he is going to willingly give his life to take the punishment that I deserved, to take the justice that I deserved. So that it could be paid for. God doesn't step into our lives and say it doesn't need to be paid for. God steps into our lives and says it was paid for. Listen to me. Listen. God doesn't step into your life and say, hey, listen, it's fine. It doesn't need to be paid for. No. God steps into our life and says, it was paid for. And in his love, he comes and says, I want for you to run that race the way that you were created to run it. I want for you to know what those who've come before you have known. But if that's going to be the case, you got to take off the weight. You have to understand forgiveness, and it begins with understanding his forgiveness. And his forgiveness is not just, let's just move past it. It's cool. It's good. It's fine. No, his forgiveness is, it's been paid for. And if you confess it and follow me, I'll teach you how to run that race. You can take off that weight. And then you can begin to experience forgiveness, not just with him, but also with those around you. But understand, it's not that we just move past it. No. There's far more to it than that. But it begins, listen to me, it begins with you experiencing it from him. And I don't just want to move past that. So what I want to do this morning is this. I want to invite you into this with him. And I want to invite you to walk through this process. I want for you to be able to walk through this process with him so that whatever's in your past, I don't care what it is, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what you've done, that whatever's in your past, that you can take that weight off. And you can know, no, I'm forgiven. Why? Because God just moved past it? No. I'm forgiven because it's paid for. And so I want to invite you into this with him. For you to be able to have a conversation with him where you go to him and say, God, you know what? I confess. And we're just going to practice this together. I confess. I screwed it up. For you to be able to say to him, no, I don't want that life. I don't want that. I want to follow you. And then I want to invite you to ask him a question this morning. To go before him and ask him, Father, will you accept what Jesus did for me? Will you accept what Jesus did for what I've done? Will you accept what Jesus did for what I've done? If you continue to interact with God's forgiveness, like it's just, hey, let's just move past it, you're never going to believe that that is actually gone. You're never going to believe that the weight is actually gone. But when you accept that, no, it's not, he didn't just move past it, it's paid for. When you accept that and the lie comes back and says, no, you're still guilty, you can look that lie in the face and say, don't you dare disrespect what Jesus did for me. Don't you dare disrespect the payment that was made for me. No. It was paid for. God's forgiveness is freely given, but it is not free. It was paid for. You were paid for. And I want to invite you to go to him and say, Father, will you accept what Jesus did for what I've done? And allow him this morning to take that weight off. If we're going to run the race with him, if we're going to run the race we were created to live, you have to take the weight off. It begins here. Allow him to take that weight off, to speak forgiveness into your soul, because it was paid for. Will you pray with me? I want to invite you right now, with your heads bowed, to have that conversation with him. To confess, say, I recognize, no. I've screwed this up. To choose, no, I want to follow you. Even if you've had this conversation with him in the past, I want to invite you to have this conversation with him again and to ask him, will you accept what Jesus did for what I've done? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Father, I want to pray for those who right now are having that conversation with you. I pray that you would speak forgiveness into their soul, that weight would begin to fall off, that this would be the beginning of those weights being removed. Father, I pray that you would teach us not just to forgive, but how. What that looks like. How we like you can forgive. How we like you can bring love, peace, and joy to the world around. In Jesus' name.